Welcome back to Yes, Your Expression Yourself. I'm Choi Ying, your host. Here today I have a beautiful guest, Holly Vinegant.
Hello, Choi Ying, thank you.
And I think that we're trying to understand the flow and we've been traveling. So what is it that have you observed during the travel?
That your problems follow you wherever you go, while at the same time you get away from your problems.
Actually, I love that. That is so true. That's actually one of the things that I find most people, even myself, that love to travel, right? So traveling does bring you away from the problem that you're carrying, usually at home. And that has actually helped us create a different perceptions.
It does. I remember a long time ago you explained entanglement to me. Long time ago. And the entanglement, when you're at home, you have this... it's not a hard physical thing that you can see, but you have this entanglement mentally, emotionally with everything around you in your house. So I know that when I'm in my house, I can't do certain things until something else is done. Or if I'm trying to relax and the house is completely torn up, right now I'm under construction, that it's I can't relax. Or you know, you have stories attached to certain things that you may have that you don't realize it, but in the background, you see these items on a daily basis, your surroundings, the people that you're with, you see them on a daily basis. So when you pack up and leave, you go into a town that's unknown, and it's a whole fresh start, a whole new energy. You have zero entanglement with anybody that's there. And entanglement's not a bad word. It just means that it's twisted up, or it's just mixed together. So the entanglement between two people or any space or anything like that, it's just that means that you are wrapped up in with it for whatever reason. Positive vibes, you know, negative vibes, whatever they may be. But when you leave your home and you walk into a space that is the unknown, then it's a whole fresh energy. It's fresh. It's new. There is no entanglement. But then you continue to, like, live your life, and the same things may have happened that may have happened back home happen while you're away. And so then it goes back to how you're reacting to those things that happen and how you move forward with your thinking about it, your reaction to it. Your reaction to things don't change just because you left home in a certain situation that has caused your reactions your entire life. So that's what I'm talking about. When you leave your problems behind, but yet you bring your problems with you. And I don't want to say problems. Problem is a kind of a negative word, but holds some negative energy to it, but more so a conflict, any type of conflict that you may have, or struggle that you may have, or whatever it is.
That's a really good way to explain entanglement. I find that I think I was listening to you talking about when we leave our surrounding, leave our home, and we had a new place, new environment, new space. You're also able to be aware that the entanglement of the memory doesn't leave. And sometimes you look in a new surrounding. When we know thoughts and are able to observe it, we can actually pick up old memories. And like you say, how we respond at home and how we respond somewhere else, we still respond the same way. It doesn't change. Into we're able to see the new perceptions. then the new response change by how we integrate, how we live, basically. And I find everywhere I go, I don't really travel a lot than most people. I travel places just for a healing purpose. You know, even a small leaving, when I say traveling, doesn't have to be somewhere far international. It can be just a few hours away to get away, you know. And I think that when we get away from our home, whether it's a vacation, whether it's some work or business or visiting, those entanglements never leave. And those entanglements is, I'm referring, and even you referring, it's not a problem, but it is a, becomes a problem if we don't pay close attention to it. And how do we change it? So now I'm asking you, what have you able to observe in few different things in traveling, able to change perspective?
I'm thinking too hard about it, but you asked me what I was able to observe to change the behavior or change my perspective. And so this is just between you and I, but like obviously I didn't. So I don't have an answer because obviously I didn't.
That's still a good perspective, and that's still a good awareness. Most people don't see it.
So one of the things that I've observed, I wouldn't say that I necessarily. I wouldn't say that I necessarily, and here comes the train.
Here comes the train. That's a beautiful part, right?
I wouldn't say that I necessarily, I am very good at observing. I'm very good at observing what. So when you ask me questions like that, I have a tendency to pause because I think too hard about it. But the question you asked was, what have I observed to change those perspective of things, but so one of the things that happens to me is that I observe is that I put a lot of expectation on myself. So when I'm talking about these conflicts that you bring with you, even though you've left other conflicts and entanglements behind, it still carries with you. In the sense that it's all within me. And so I have observed me putting these expectations on myself. And when I'm not meeting those expectations, the creations that I've created in my head, they're expectations of myself, but I think that others have this expectation of me. And so I created in my mind, and that's going to come with me wherever I go, you know. But what I've observed is that happens, and I do this all the time. I watch it. I watch it happening. I watch it unfolding. I watch the conflict with myself unfolding, and it was a while back that I described this of, you know, being in a gladiator ring and it's me and that one initial thought happening, thought, feeling, emotion, whatever you want to call it, that situation happening. And sometimes it's just tiny, you know, it's just a tiny situation, but it's me and that other thought in the middle of a gladiator ring. And, you know, we're battling away. And I can see it. I can see the battle happening. And if I'm not in my power enough to stop it right then and there, then what happens is the entire ring, the entire Colosseum, the entire audience hopping into the ring with me and that other original thought, the entire audience just hopping in and ganging up and joining forces with that original thought and just pummeling me with beating me up. And it's just, it becomes overwhelming, and I watch it happen. And then, you know, once it's done, like, I'm just laying there on the ground in the dirt, you know? But I observe it happen, and what I've observed is that that can go with me wherever I go. And but you asked me about changing the perspective. So I haven't changed the perspective. Like, it still happens. Doesn't happen all the time, but...
So I'm really hearing you really don't need to change perspective. A lot of us, I think, we think that we have to always change. We don't. You're just basically able to connect to your emotions, aware of what's arise in your emotion, your thought process. And whether it's story, whether it's memories, whether it's an event, it happens in the past. And it comes up and again, not saying it's a lesson to be learned. It's just basically you're able to aware and observe. And that's all that is. There's no need to change perspective. The change in perspective is that it's already changed when you don't give power to it, right? When you don't give the power to those reactions and those response, and those are self-expectation and self-judgment. When you recognize it, there's nothing to be changed. The perspective is already there. We see in a whole different perspective because we always aware through self-reflections and self-awareness.
So you think that there is no need to change your perspective?
No, because if you live in a human experience, everything you truly want to experience, it's just constantly happening. But we say that the reality that created from within is what's happening on the outside, is a reflection of what's happening inside. But there is no need to change. I give you an example. One of my awareness this morning was that the example was many of us, when I refer to many of us, I'm referring to the collective mass conditions that everyone's is speaking the same thing, sharing the same thing, teaching the same thing. Those are referred to conditions of creations of reality. In other words, you can have a million people saying a tomato is blue, then it's conditioned that we're going to repeat the tomato we see is blue. We'll never see something outside of it until one or two people or a few people want to choose to openly see in a whole different perspective and to see truly as is. It probably is blue. You're following? So maybe it's a bad example, but the example I'm actually want to get to is that when it comes to the perspective and change, what I was able to pick up today was we say words is powerful, words creates reality, and also word is spell, word is something that's magic, right? What we speak is what we create, but that's not true, because I've been suppressed for many years. I rarely speak of anything. I communicate. There's a difference than communicate than speaking of words. That's like speaking hate words, speaking, it's all coming from thoughts, it's all coming from emotions. So this is about being observed and aware of our subconscious, our inner feeling. To change those perspective is to observe those inner feeling, because that's what really creates our reality. You can speak all you want. Someone like myself probably able to pick up those patterns because English was my second language, so I don't hold a lot of resonance to that power. I don't give a lot of power to English. This is my second language, and I struggle through it. So it's not just mainly the language, it's really how we've been conditioned, how we feel. And that's what I find entanglement. We entanglement with feelings and thoughts. And I don't even remember what I told you a couple years ago about entanglement.
Oh, you don't?
No, I don't.
What was your example that you were just going to talk about, though?
The example I was talking about, just that, is that we can speak so much. We don't have to be mindful about word. In other words, it's very conditions collective. When I say condition collective is you can have the entire world or scientific proven that one word means one thing and it's been proven. That is not true. Because we're all unique. We have different gifts. Just because it's true for a million people or even 100 million people does not mean true for you. So in order for you to understand how you create your reality, you got to always be aware and connect to your own feeling, your own emotion, and your own thought process. And those perspectives is really how you feel about it. It's really how you entangle with it, with your story, with your memories.
But you say that there's no need to change your perspective.
There's no need to change. Because when you change, you're thinking there's a problem to begin with. But you also have to understand who you're changing. Goes back to what you said about expectation. You might be changing because you have an expectation of something else. This is really about creating. I think this type of today's conversation is really about what's happening in the world and the activations and the lion gates. Everyone wants to apply steps or improve the life by following other steps, other people's perceptions, other people's view, other people's mindsets. But all we got to do is observe. There's no need to change. It will happen. It will change in a way that how you going to truly live when you're no longer able to have the, when you no longer react and respond in those entanglements. So we're getting close here, actually. It's a really amazing conversations here outside a coffee shop.
I guess we'll see how this new podcast equipment plays
out.
Yeah,
we're really testing it.
With the train.
So, you have any final thoughts? And words?
No, the entanglement. The entanglement that you described, we'll have to do like a whole other podcast on that, but it's really about the thoughts, the feelings, the emotions between one person and another, or one person and a thing, and getting attaching to it was the entanglement. And it was like one of those DNA strands. Yeah, we'll have to do like videos to the podcast and we can draw it out. It was like a DNA strand where it's twisted, like it's where it crosses over the emotions and thoughts cross over one another as opposed to free flowing from one person to the next and back, crossing over and getting misconstrued as being my thoughts and feelings or entangled with it or whatever. So I think that should be a second podcast.
Yeah, thank you. Actually, this is going to be titled Entanglements, Part 1. There's always Part 2. See you next time. Thank you for joining us, Holly.
Thank you, Cho Ying.